Hello, good morning and welcome to the finance show here on tiptv.co.uk. It is Wednesday the 14th of September and I'm here with a strategist you can trust from BGC Partners, Mike Ingram. You are a strategist.
Is that an oxymoron?
It certainly is, actually.
Might be.
But no, it's more relevant to economists, but strategists are totally different.
We're a breed apart.
People like strategists.
I hope so.
The other thing I was thinking, actually, that the correct pronunciation of the finance show is finance.
Isn't that American?
No, I think it's actually, it should be the, welcome to the finance show.
Improve the content?
It's a bit like saying garage rather than garage.
Or Farage.
Farage, yes, I prefer Farage myself. Yes. But let's look at the slides of the day. And who we have the most popular in business and finance. Scottish Chambers warn of impending inflationary pressures for firms because of post-Brexit vote tumble in sterling. Hasn't really happened, actually, has it?
Well, we saw a blip up in the producer price input numbers, certainly in July. They've calmed down a little bit on the August data. Most large companies hedge their foreign currency exposure anyway for 3, 6, maybe even 12 months. We usually come across it in the context of, say, airlines and their fuel costs. But on the basis that, the pound is down, it looks like it's staying down, we will eventually see those producer prices tickle up. The question then becomes is how much of those price increases are companies willing to absorb for themselves or pass on to consumers? I note with some interest that the price of the iPhone 7 has gone up by 11% on the smaller one. On the Plus, it's gone up by 60%. It's flat in the US. It's only gone up by about 3% in countries such as Germany, and a lot of that is because of sterling's weakness and Apple wanted to maintain their dollar margins.
Rip-off Britain is what I would call it.
Well, it is rip-off Britain.
European equities struggle to recover from recent losses, as nervousness about global monetary policy leaves government bond yields near multi-week highs, according to the FT. Mm. Is that mess ever really going to clear up?
No. Okay. Because monetary policy is the only game in time. Central bankers haven't got a clue and there's nowhere else to go at the moment.
Right. We'll look at Mike's morning markets. Overnight Asian markets resume slide following weak US trading, even as the yen falls on reports that Japan might cut rates into even deeper negative territory. The failed strategy being stretched out.
Yeah, it's Einstein's definition of insanity.
Rate jitters blamed for renewed sell-off, though expectations of a September Fed rate hike remain at 22%. Bond markets are also selling off, with the US 10-year yields at post-Brexit high. The International Energy Agency now says that crude market rebalancing won't occur until well into 2017, with demand growth cut and resilient non-OPEC supply, which rather makes a mockery of the recent Saudi-Russian strange bedfellows deal.
Or indeed oil price forecasts.
At 8 o'clock, we had the dulcet tones of the EU Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker to deliver his State of the Union, which has a rather comical tone now, given what's happened a couple of months back.
State than Union, perhaps.
Sorry?
More State than Union.
Yes, it's total. It wasn't really supposed to be a state either. Well, he wanted to be a state, I suppose.
Well, indeed.
But expected to say the EU faces an existential crisis, which is, I suppose, something it's been facing for the last 5 years.
And indeed, that's what he did say, but it was a bit of a rag bag sort of speech, really, because though he's saying we've got some profound challenges, we have talking about galloping populism, though I'd imagine it was done sort of a rather sort of, these the unwashed masses, etc. But perhaps predictably, he said that we need to listen more to people, but the solution is very clearly we need more Europe. Quel surprise.
Well, the ragbag thing was probably because he'd already had his breakfast brandy, which is famous for. That's probably.
You may choose to think that, Zach. I couldn't.
The other point there, I think, was also that where he's using the single market rod to beat us with, really, saying if you don't do this, if you don't do that, you won't be able to join the single market. Where does it actually make a difference?
In financial services, they could certainly, on paper, make life quite difficult for the UK and the City of London. As I mentioned in the morning show, Philip Howard, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, said earlier on this week that it was in the European Union's economic interests to play fairly with the UK. I think he's correct in that, but as I pointed out, this is a political decision, and politicians make dumb decisions all the time, particularly in regards of the economy.
Right, and at 9:30 we had UK employment data, with I suppose the average weekly earnings bonus, ex-bonus, slowing to 2.2% year on year, the main part of that, along with the claimant count.
Yeah, I mean, we had a panic on the July data, because, of course, you know, many economists are expecting the UK to immediately slide into a catastrophic recession after the referendum vote. Of course, it didn't happen. Of course, it was never going to happen. So now they're becoming quite, I think, relaxed about things. I think, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, let's see where we are after we've triggered Article 50, and the politicians have really started a rev up. I would imagine it'll only be clear how things are going something like spring of next year.
Can't wait until they trigger Article 50. That's going to be another 3 years or 4 years or something like that.
I don't think it'll be that long.
Right. You actually think it's going to happen?
Yeah, I do. I think it has to.
Okay, all right.
If they abolish elections because, you know, we've got President Trump or something, but then, which is a possibility as well.
Something to look forward to. Nicole Elliott at the Investors Chronicle, her commentary today was also focused on our good friend Jean-Claude Juncker. And his State of the European Union address. Yesterday, his predecessor, José Manuel Barroso, wrote to him saying EU leaders and institutions, in trying to block his new banking appointment, claimed that the mere fact of working with Goldman Sachs raises questions of integrity. These claims are baseless and wholly unmerited. They are discriminatory.
Yeah.
What?
He's clearly the injured party here.
So Goldman Sachs is whiter than white, isn't it? Cleaner than clean. next slide.
They have good lawyers, Zach. They have good lawyers.
Anything better than either you should have even better lawyers, or you
just
have,
give me a noose and get my head in.
Well, yeah, one should have either better lawyers, which is impossible, or have no lawyers at all. I think that's
indeed
get the sympathy vote. economic calendar, Eurozone industrial production. The RBA speak is from RBA's De Bell speech in London. In the US, we've got import price index, and the crude oil inventories is probably the biggest data of the day, the latter. Oanda clients still rushing into gold and silver there at the top of the table, believing in the Bank of Japan with the possibility of a rate cut there, and interestingly bullish on the Aussie dollar, which I think seems to be a reasonable way to go. They've got more bullish of cable over the last 24 hours, or so it's still, at least since the start of this week, but negative on the euro in all its forms, especially euro sterling. And interestingly now, I think this is the first time it's happened, very short on dollar Canadian there at 34%. Investors Intelligence FX Hotline, the Canadian dollar versus the euro develops a bearish point and figure breakout at 0.68. With the price objective of 0.66 and stop loss at 0.7. Also with Investors Intelligence, the UK sterling index develops a bearish point and figure breakout at 74.69, which looks interesting. Actually, price objective of 64.6580, stop loss at 82.95. Difficult to see what would get sterling so weak, if that is correct, but well worth noting anyway.
Well, indeed, because expectations of a US rate hike are extremely low. And I think Mark Carney has made it fairly clear, at least at the moment, that certainly in terms of rate cuts out of the Bank of England, there's not much more to play for. Those targets look quite well off from where I think, you know, the trading range has been settling down.
Okay, let's move along to the broker recommendations, which you picked out, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Campus Group?
Yeah, Campus Group. I mean, it looks like JP Morgan are really breaking out on this one, because the consensus is that there's very little upside on this name. JP Morgan up to this point was agreeing with them. You might think they're just running with the wind, because certainly there's been a decent amount of stock momentum there. But you know, company's doing well. Earnings estimates are still tickling up, and it's okay. Valuation to me actually looks okay.
Right, Equiniti Group? Appreciation from Peel Hunt?
Well, yeah, I don't know not a great deal about it. You were pointing out a certain article this morning related
I looked at their website, the ShareView website, which seems to be associated with them, where they were suggesting that people, if anybody knew of a boiler room, they should give them a call. But I'm not quite sure where that would lead. Possibly a few people around the City of London might be rather upset if the people actually took them up on that
a flood of
request.
Telephone calls.
And then finally, Arrow Global from Jefferies, a buy there with a big target hike there as well. So that's it for the start of the finance show. Thank you to Mike Ingram Strategies at BGC Partners. We'll be back with more after the break.